checking in this morning with 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg, and we find him back in the district today. And the big question mark, I suppose, Tim, this morning is, why didn't the Farm Bill pass in the House?
Well, it came down to the fact that Colin Peterson, the ranking member on the Agriculture Committee, who had committed 40 votes from the Democrats to help support, to be part of the process as opposed to just simply saying no, because we were reducing by over $20 billion nutrition program, that being food stamps, SNAP, and all the rest, dealing with the issue of our budget and responding to hard-hit taxpayers and job providers to try to ratchet down the cost of government and encourage people to take jobs that are out there that so far left unfilled. Colin didn't come through with his 40 and only came through with 20. All the Republicans who committed to support the Farm Bill, even though it wasn't perfect, yet it was a major step forward from what it has been, were left hanging. So it remains to be seen what happens. The sad thing about it, if we allow nothing to happen, you go back to the 1949 bill, and I can give you one example. In that law, that's the underlying law, the federal government will be required to purchase milk and keep the price up there and become a competitive force against the free market and the market itself of consumers buying. And ultimately, we could see milk prices just for one thing going up, approaching $6-7 a gallon. And that's not a good thing. So we have to handle it in some way. And so I'm hoping the cooler heads prevail. To hear the Democrats cheering yesterday at the failure of the bill was discouraging. It was not a nice scene to take place. But we'll be back next week, and I'm interested to hear what our leadership, Frank Lucas, the chairman of the Agriculture Committee, and others will say about it.
Well, you know, when we call it a farm bill, obviously that's somewhat of a misnomer, because there is so much more that's included in this that, you know, on the periphery is agriculture related. But like you said, with the food stamps and all the other subsidy things that go in it that are support programs for people outside of agriculture, it really becomes this huge monstrosity, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's why the effort was made yesterday by my good friend and colleague from Indiana. He's a farmer himself, in decoupling the nutrition portion, which is 80% of the farm bill, and 20% is only production agriculture. So we're really not talking about a farm bill the way it's set right now, but the liberals really have held hostage, knowing that they can't force so much welfare on the country if they don't tie it to something, you know, like the old Pontiac Silverdome subsidy funding that was tied to the agriculture budget in Lansing for so long until the chairman of that committee died, Charlie Harrison of Pontiac. He held it hostage. Once we decoupled that, cooler heads prevailed and agriculture was dealt with more appropriately. And I think the same thing has to take place. Marlin offered that as an amendment to decouple the farm bill from the nutrition programs. That was not successful. I think, my point to the leadership, the speaker, and others would be next week, let's decouple it. Just simply offer a substitute bill. Get the Republicans to stand firm with that. Throw it on the floor. Push it through. And then say to the Democrats, now, if you want to work with nutrition issues, then you're going to have to work with reducing unnecessary cost, fraud, waste, and abuse in the welfare food programs. And we'll work with you on it in a separate bill. So that's one idea. And maybe because of what took place yesterday, that will be more of a reality. I know that there are a lot of Republicans who are extremely angry that we worked to the best of our ability with the Democrats, knowing that there's no such thing as a 100% perfect bill. There has to be some compromise, but there was none yesterday coming from the other side. And so I would strongly push to do that, to decouple it and to put it through the House, and then say, now, Democrats, if you want your portion, knowing that the Senate is going to push back on it, so we're going to have to come to an agreement, and we're going to have a conference committee that understands reality of what the economy is and what the American people are suffering.
Are on the production agriculture side of this, are we doing right by farmers these days?
I think we are. I mean, we live in reality. Nothing's perfect. In the dairy industry, there'll be some concerns either way, from the producers versus the processors. On the sugar issue, Michigan does have a sugar industry, primarily sugar beet growers up in the Thumb area. They're hard pressed from the competition from Mexico that's violating sugar agreements and sugar treaties with us, and we ought to be taking action against that more aggressively. So no, they're not absolutely satisfied with every area. I mean, this budget did away with direct payments. That's major, and that's been there for a long time. The general public doesn't understand it, doesn't want it. And I don't think a lot of the agriculture supports it, as long as they're given an opportunity to compete as businessmen that they are, without government intervention where it shouldn't intervene. And so I think yesterday's farm bill in the production part of it made some major strides in reductions of subsidies and ending the direct payments, and putting, I think, more realistic framework in place with sugar and with milk, dairy. And I guess we'll have to see what goes on. We took some whacks at the whole issue of renewable fuels, alternative fuels, and so in many ways it was a pretty good effort, and yet it was frustrated by Democrats not living up to their agreement of 40 votes, and that was sad to see.